Right, well, good morning, everybody. How is everyone this morning? Good? It's getting cold, isn't it? I'm still not quite used to it, being from Nelson. It's like, why did I come here? I imagine these guys are feeling it as well. We've just been overseas where it's summer. It must be nice, eh? Must be nice. Anyway, so welcome to you this morning. I hope you all had a very good week. Now, I know what you're thinking. Francis and Barbara, being slightly delusional from their jet lag, have just decided to put the intern on preaching this week so that they could have an Easter week off, and I'm pretty sure that's what's happened, so bear with me. But so we're going to jump into our passage this morning and see what it means for us around the heart of worship and what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. So I titled this sermon, Worshipping in Spirit and Truth. So I was sitting out at Portobello on Monday. I just emailed Francis to confirm the fact that I was actually preaching. We'd had about 3 emails before then, and I think I must have misread them. But it turns out I was preaching on Sunday, and so I was like, okay, I'll go out to Portobello and get a nice spot and pray about it and see what God says about the sermon for the Sunday. And I really felt, whilst praying, God challenged me with the question, what does it look like to worship in spirit and in truth, to experience a loving relationship with God? So to answer that question, it can be found within our passage that we've just read in John 4. So to give a bit of background to this excerpt in John 4, for those who do know the passage, it's from the woman in the well, the Samaritan and the woman in the well. So Jesus is on his way to Galilee because the Pharisees are after him. Once again, good old Jesus running from the law. That's what we like. So this story takes place in a town called Sychar, in the middle of nowhere, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, so Jesus is sitting at this well, and his disciples have gone out to get food, so he's all alone, just sitting by this well, and this woman comes up to him in the heat of the day, and Jesus asks her for a drink of water, because he's thirsty. And she's like, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Long story short, Jews really, really didn't like Samaritans. historically hated Samaritans. It was very, 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 very unusual for a Jew to even talk to a Samaritan. Because they were considered unclean, unworthy, and not worth the time. So Jesus even talking to this girl was kind of breaking the rules, as it were. So Jesus starts having this conversation with her about how he is greater than the well that she is drawing water from, and that how actually he is living, he can give her living water. Now that's another whole sermon. I'm not going to be preaching the Jesus is our living water sermon. I'm just giving some context to this passage. So he then continues on to tell her about who she is, and she's kind of surprised and a bit awed, and she's like, ah, you must be a prophet. So she gets confused and asks the question, I thought the place we must worship is in Jerusalem, like the Jews have said. And Jesus delivers the line, verse 21. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. It's kind of like a metaphorical mic drop from Jesus at that time. And that's kind of just like rewarping the whole script of what it means to worship. So we're going to define these kind of areas of what is worship in spirit and truth. How do you worship with your spirit and with truth? So to define spirit, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Can you guys say that? Pneuma? Pneuma. Yeah, good. It took me a while to try and learn to pronounce it. And it means wind or breath, or breathed. So to worship in spirit is to worship with our breath. And that's a little bit confusing, I understand. But without breath, we wouldn't have life, right? We kind of need to breathe to survive. It's kind of essential. And so when we worship in spirit or with our breath, we are worshiping with our life, because our inner being, our inner breath, is yearning for connection with its creator. If we are to understand the true essence of spirit, we need to look to the next little bit in John 24. It's John 4:24, and it says, God is spirit. So God is breath. The name of God, or Yahweh in the original Hebrew, doesn't actually have any consonants. And so you can't actually say the name of God. And if you tried, it went something like this. Like breathing in and breathing out. And so every breath you take, you are speaking the name of God, which is a really cool revelation in itself, and a sign of creational intent. So every breath we are speaking is the name of God. So our spirit is God's voice. And if we are to tie God and as spirit to our breath within us, we need to look back to Genesis 2:7, just to fit a creational intent in here. So Jesus says, Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. So God created us with spirit. God breathed into us and created a living soul. And so our inner being is God's breath, God's spirit, which means we have God's spirit in us. And because we are created by God for the purpose of relationship to him, our inner being, our spirit, our breath, longs to be connected to its creator. So, and that's the worship that God seeks, to connect to our soul. So to worship in spirit is to connect to God with the essence of our being, to reconnect with our breath, with the way that we live our life, with who we are, in here, in this, I don't know whereabouts it would be, but in us, we are to worship God with the essence of our being, with how we respond to things, with how we live our life. It's a call to live in a radically different way. Worship in spirit means we are reconnecting to God's original intent for our being and drawing close to him in the way we live our lives. So more on that in a bit. That's kind of a little bit of a key point, but we'll come back to that. So that's spirit. And in truth, we get the word, the Greek word, aletheia. You guys want to say that? Aletheia? There we go. She said it, which is good. And that translates to revealing, loyal, authentic, enduring, constant, real, in the state of not being hidden. When I was giving my notes to Francis to look over, I had like one definition, and he was like, well, what about all these other definitions? I was like, ah, okay, I'll put those in as well. But for the sake of the sermon and what is truth, because that's another whole sermon itself, what is truth, we'll use the word authentic. In this version of the word authentic, we are talking about bringing our full self, our authentic self, before God. Your true self, who you really are, not who you think you are, your false self, but who you actually are, so you can wholeheartedly come before God. We are to be authentic in the way we worship by bringing our whole true self before God to meet with his spirit. So if we take what is being said, we are to worship in spirit and in truth, right? We are to worship our God by honoring him with the way we live our lives, our inner being, our spirit, and in an authentic way that brings our whole self before God. So my sermon's kind of over. that's what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. And we are given instruction in the next line of John 24. So God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus is saying we must worship in spirit and in truth. Must. It's not I kind of feel like it today. I'm just going to, you know what, I woke up good this morning. I'm going to worship in spirit and truth. You know what, today's my day. It's not quite like that. It's a we must worship in spirit and truth. It's not really an option. Yes, there's millions and millions of ways to express worship. And we'll get more into that in a minute. But to bring our full selves before God, but worshippers must worship our God by honoring him with our inner being in the way we live, in an authentic way that brings our whole self before God. Our whole self before God. Worship isn't just a couple of songs on a Sunday. That is really nice. Megan is a great musician. But it's so much more than that. Worship is a call to radically live out your faith in Jesus in everyday life. Worship is so much more than a moment where you have your hands raised high and you're feeling the tangible presence of God. That is how we can experience worship, don't get me wrong. But worship is a calling to honor God with our inner being and how we live according to that in an authentic way. We are to live in an authentic way that brings our whole self before God. Worship is a life, not just a Sunday music session. I think a story that kind of outlines this reasonably well. It's kind of the term, I don't know if you've heard it, but the Sunday Christian, or that kind of, we treat Sunday as, this is when I worship. That's the kind of the story. And my story of this is when I was 13, and I'd just been to Southern Easter Camp. It was party of a lifetime for a 13-year-old. And so we just had this massive camp, you know, hands raised high, these awesome moments of worship. And totally feeling the presence of God. It was great and awesome. And I come back home and I say to my brothers, Easter camp's changed me. You don't need to worry. I'm going to be a good brother to you guys from now on. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to play rough. Easter camp changed me because I experienced God in this moment. I was crying. It was awesome. I've changed. Don't worry. It'll be okay. And then I think it maybe lasted about an hour. And then literally within that hour, I was arguing with one of my brothers about something. I can't remember what, and I'm sure it was my fault as well. Like, I'm very sure it was my fault. And he looked at me. I'll never forget this. He looked at me dead in the eyes and he said, "Theo, you haven't changed. You're exactly the same." And I was like, that hurt 13-year-old Theo's feelings. So I did what any great older brother does, and I hit him with my lightsaber, kind of proving his point. But so yes, that's a kind of a little funny story of 13-year-old Theo being a great older brother. But don't worry, I have a great relationship with my brothers. It's all good. I don't hit them with lightsabers anymore. But people treat worship like this. We treat worship as a thing we do on Sunday, where we come and raise our hands and we experience God. And that's how people treat worship. We treat worship as an experience or a moment or an encounter with God. We think, that was nice on Sunday. Might come back next Sunday to get some more of that. But then we return to our own reality. We return to our lives and we kind of just carry on, don't we? We have the nice moment of worship on a Sunday, and then we get back to life. And worship goes so much deeper than that. To worship in spirit and truth is so much more than a song. It's a way of being in relationship with God in every aspect of your life. Our whole lives need to be directed towards drawing closer to God so we can honor him with the way we live our lives in spirit and truth in an authentic way that brings our whole self before God, our whole self. When we come to sing songs on Sunday to God, it's an opportunity to meet with God, absolutely. Step into that, step into what the Spirit does here on a Sunday. Feel the presence of God, and let that carry you into the week. But don't let that one experience be your whole experience of worship for the week. To worship is to draw closer to the Spirit. And we are able to do that on Sunday, absolutely. And it's awesome, our communal voice, giving praise to God, to draw closer to the Spirit. But when we can draw closer to the Spirit throughout the week, the more time we spend with the Spirit, the more time we spend in worship, in the language of Paul, we draw closer to the Spirit, we become more like Jesus. More loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, gentle, all the fruits of the Spirit, you know, the fruits of the Spirit song, love, joy and peace. Yes, we become all more of those, all from just drawing closer to the Spirit. And so the call is to draw closer to the Spirit in every part of our life. Because if it's just on a Sunday, I hate to break to you, but it will just stay on the fringes of your life. If your life can't become orientated around worship, around connecting to Jesus, in everyday moments of the Monday morning blues, God will stay on the fringes of your life. But if you want to have an inner being relationship with God where you feel at peace with your soul, we are to worship in everyday life, in every little moment we get. Because Jesus wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. And worship is the way that we can have relationship with him. There are so many ways to express worship, through prayer, through art, through music, through quiet time, through appreciation, through anything and everything that makes you feel connected to the Creator. A nice walk in the park, absolutely. That's one of the ways I definitely connect with God through worship the most. Thank you, God, for this lovely park that I'm walking through. My soul just wakes up to Jesus in that moment. And we want to know, if you want to know how to worship, worship in spirit and truth and do it as Jesus did. Jesus is the example of what it looks like to live a life honoring God with his authentic whole self. Our call to worship is a call to follow Jesus, to become a disciple of Jesus, to live as Jesus did. We come to Jesus to learn to worship in spirit and truth. Jesus lived a blameless life, slow and present to the moment, present to God, never rushed, and at peace with his soul. And we are called to live as he did. We won't always get it right. We're human, we're flawed. But the call is to follow Jesus. And we can't do that alone, can we? We need each other within the church community to encourage one another as we live as Jesus did. Because I don't know about you, but when I try and do faith by myself, I'm much more susceptible to the lies of the enemy. So much easier to believe that voice that comes into your head, oh no, you're not going to be good enough to do that. But when we have community around us, we're better able to hear the voice of truth. We are better able to hear Jesus' voice. And in doing so, we can draw closer to Jesus. We are to spur each other on to be closer to Jesus. We are to encourage one another throughout the week to come together on Sunday, but ask, how was your Wednesday? Did you connect to Jesus on Wednesday? We are to journey with one another through life because Jesus wants your whole being. He wants all of you. And all we need to do is step closer to the Spirit. He wants your full self to come to him so he can love you. John 14:6 says this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the example of what it looks like to live a life honoring God. And if we want to do the same, we need to follow the things that Jesus did. Now, I don't have time to unpack all the things that Jesus did, but he spent time in prayer with the Father. I would argue most days, every day, so many times. He went off to the quiet place to be with God. Everything he did was centered around God. He took every opportunity he had to be with God, his Father. So every day is an opportunity to trust in God over our own understanding. Every day is an opportunity to step into worship. And as a church, we are to help one another along this process to become more like Jesus. When we worship, we are choosing to allow Jesus to work in us so we can have life and life to the fullest. Worship is a way of living as a disciple of Jesus. And when we worship, we draw closer to the Spirit and we become more loving and all those fruits. All we need to do is draw near to the Spirit. So the challenge for us today, in this moment, is to step into Jesus' calling, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to let Him be a part of every aspect of your life, not just this moment on a Sunday where we come to worship and have our hands raised high. Absolutely beautiful, keep doing that. But let Jesus into your morning routine. Take a moment before you turn off your, before you get out of bed, before you look at your phone, before you do anything, just take a moment to take a breath and be aware of God's presence. If you start your day centered around Jesus, around God, it'll make you feel a million times better. It'll draw you closer to Jesus. And that was why we were created, to be closer to Jesus. Step into what God's got in store for you. And that's an adventure and a half. And that, I know it's hard to trust. I know it's hard to trust that journey. I'm still definitely on that journey of trusting God's flourishing, of trusting Jesus' flourishing, because I kind of wanted to find those things for myself by my own works. But actually, the challenge is to give that over to God. In a loss of control, we gain control. So, and one of the ways that we can worship is through song praise and music on a Sunday. When we sing as a church, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill us so that we can dwell with the Spirit. And there is an open invitation to draw close to the Spirit, to let God love you and form who you are. So in a minute, myself and Megan, we're going to sing a few worship songs. I'll just invite Megan up. If you don't know them, that's okay. If you do know them, sing along. But I encourage you to step into what the Spirit is saying to you, to just be in the Spirit's presence, to bring your full self in front of God and to experience His love for you, to bring your whole self, your true self, your inner being, your spirit and truth before God. Worshipping God in spirit and in truth, taking every opportunity you get to thank Him, to praise Him. Every aspect of life is an opportunity to be with the Spirit. We are walking step by step next to the Spirit. So be encouraged to worship God with the way you live your life, in an authentic way that brings your whole self before God. Amen.